You are an energetic being first and foremost, so the quality of your energy field is really important. It works like a filter, each part of the field enabling or preventing whatever is turning up in your life. This is the Future Self Energetics Show. I'm your host, Amanda Nelson, and I work in the body, mind and spirits community. I'm an award-winning master energist. That's a therapist that specializes in improving the quality of the energy fields that move in, through and around your body. If you want anything in your life to change, you have to begin with changing your energy field first. So my shows are a mixture of talk and therapy ideas, interviews and thought-provoking inspiration. They're all about energy, energy fields, protection and connection. If there's a topic you'd love me to cover in my show, please email me, amanda@futureselfenergetics.com. And if you love the show here on UK Health Radio, please spread the word about it in your networks. I'm Amanda Nelson, and this week I want to share a real life story with you. It's a story about the time I decided to go and visit St Margaret's Chapel in Glastonbury and what happened when I went there. In that little chapel, I made a life-changing connection that I'd like to tell you about today. Now, Glastonbury is in the county of Somerset in the United Kingdom. It's sort of towards the southwest. And Glastonbury is world famous for the annual music festival that takes place there. It's got a hill with a tower on the top, which is known as Glastonbury Tor. And of course, there are other amazing places to visit in the actual town itself, like the Chalice Well. And it certainly wouldn't be Glastonbury if I didn't mention the spiritual seekers of all kinds that flock there every year. I visit Glastonbury a lot. The story I want to share with you is about a visit I paid to a small chapel right in the heart of the town. Now, St Margaret's Chapel, the Magdalene Almshouses and the gardens are all on the same site, and they're situated in a small secluded area just off Magdalene Street. This is where I'd like to talk to you. What I'd like to talk to you about today. This group of buildings dates back to around the 11th century, when Glastonbury was a major pilgrimage destination, and it was built as a hospital for men, and it had a chapel attached to it, and it was all paid for by Queen Margaret of Scotland. Now, this small unassuming chapel is located down a very plain set of large flagstone steps opposite the main entrance to Glastonbury's famous abbey, so it's really easy to miss it. But if you're careful and you take your time, you might be able to find it. The first time I visited the chapel, I wasn't even sure I'd arrived at the right place. I was sure it was wrong. You know, nothing could be tucked right out of view like this. But sure enough, I went down the pathway, and that overshadowed sort of corridor opens up to a set of tiny almshouses on one side and a long thin strip of garden on the other. So where I wondered, as I was looking around, was the chapel. Well, when I turned around on the spot, there it was. I could see the chapel door straight ahead of me. So I quietly made my way inside. The first thing that struck me about this darling little chapel was that it was very, very plain inside. It was neutral. The walls were simple whitewashed stone. There was a very simple wooden crucifix on a plain altar at one end of the chapel, and pretty much nothing else in there. Where was the stained glass, the oil paintings, the sculptures and the statues? Where were the murals and the cross-stitched embroidered cushions? There was nothing here of that kind. Just a simple cloth draped over an altar, a small flat plate on the floor in front of the altar with tea lights burning gently, and two long lines of chairs on either side of the walls. Only about 10 chairs, actually, on each side, positioned so that as you sat in them, you faced actually into the centre of the chapel and not towards the altar at the front. It was such a small space, although I'm not an expert on Christian chapels, I'd say, but as far as they go, the ones that I've seen, this was a very simple offering, not what I'm used to when I visit churches and chapels at all. Now, while my husband Matt and I had been eating a delicious meal at the 100 Monkeys Bistro and Bakery up in the top of the high street, we'd actually asked our waiter if there was anywhere that would be worth a visit, somewhere in Glastonbury where the tourists didn't necessarily flock, somewhere spiritual and slightly off the beaten track. And the young man told us about this particular chapel and assured us that it was a very special place to visit indeed. And I'll be honest with you, at this point, being in that chapel, I couldn't see why anyone would think it was particularly special at all. I'm not being irreverent, there was just nothing particularly special about it. And there was no music playing in the background to give atmosphere. It was freezing cold inside, and it lacked really any personality at all. But I had half an hour before we were due to leave for Oxford, and as my husband wanted to go for a mooch in the shop that I didn't want to visit, I decided I'd go to the chapel instead. So here I was in this space. Why had I come? I suppose what I was looking for was some kind of spiritual oasis, really. I didn't mind if that's spiritual in the sense of Christian or Buddhist or pagan or goddess orientated or filled with nature spirits even, or with any other belief system for that matter. What I was hoping for was a sacred space to connect with, to be in. I just needed something to make me feel spiritually filled up, get that sacred connection, you know. And I'd come to this chapel in the hope that I might receive it. The young man who'd been serving us at the 100 Monkeys Cafe had said that this chapel is well known as being a place that people go to when they feel that they're searching for something that's missing in their life, a place where those who are stuck can find direction, and the place where those who feel disconnected can find some kind of connection again. I found this description really poignant and meaningful. I'm completely tapped into the energies that flow in, around and through us, and I absolutely understand about the connection we have to all things. And at this time in particular, I'll admit, that young man, without being told anything about me at all, had managed to pitch this little chapel just right. Although I was in the thick of my life, I wasn't at the time feeling particularly connected to it. In fact, I felt completely swallowed up by my life, and there were parts of my spirituality which were feeling completely isolated from everything else around me. I'm finding that as I ascend as a soul, as I refine my energy signature to being more aligned with love and kindness and gratitude, that there are parts of me that are starting to get a bit isolated and alone for the first time in many years. It's as if you make new choices about who you wish to engage with in the community that surrounds you. And as you're trying to be that better soul, you can feel you're put in a position where you feel estranged from everything you're used to. It's like you pull away from it a little bit. I don't know if you get a sense of what I mean. The more I resonate with the frequency of kindness, love and gratitude, the less I resonate with the everyday life out there. It feels more and more like I'm stepping away, consciously choosing not to engage with all of the cultural norms that seem to control and manipulate lives from every angle. So yes, coming to this little chapel, a chapel where people who feel disconnected can find some sense of connection, yeah, I could really use a bit of that. So I found myself making myself comfortable on the unassuming chair in this little chapel, hoping that I would find something that I felt I'd lost. And to be honest, the way I was feeling at the time I visited this chapel, I would have been happy just to have a few minutes quiet, a chance to meditate and to move inwards for a little while, just being undisturbed from the, you know, away from the hurly-burly of everything going on outside. A bit of calm, an oasis in the storm of life, I suppose. I was the only person in the chapel, and so after I tucked my handbag and shopping underneath my chair, I made myself as comfortable as possible. I let my hands rest gently in my lap, and after a few deep breaths in and out, I decided to drink in some of the peace to be found in this little sacred place, and I closed my eyes. And then it happened. A touring party of 10 walkers all arrived at the chapel at the same time. They flooded into the chapel through the door and started to take off their backpacks, unzip their jackets and busily take their seats all around me. Now the leader of the party, mindful that I was trying to meditate, said to everyone in a very loud whisper that they should make sure that their mobile phones are truly switched off and take a moment or two to drink in this special atmosphere of this age-old chapel. I watched the party from one eye to see what was happening. It was hard not to get a little frustrated. I'd come here for peace and quiet, and I felt like my space had been completely invaded. How could I possibly connect to Source with all this racket going on? Well, for a minute or two, silence resumed as everyone just sat there. So after taking a few gentle breaths, I started to move inwards again, and I closed my eyes. Brrr, click! In what seemed no time at all, the silence was shattered again. Having spent the seemingly mandatory 3 minutes in peace and quiet, the touring party all decided to get up from their chairs and started to take photos. I suppose the idea was that they wanted to remember the moment. Brrr, click! Oh, that's a good one. Try this angle. Do you want to light a candle as well? I was shocked out of my calm state. Again. Good grief. Then a whole chorus of technology capturing the moment, selfies in the moment, jackets going back on in the moment, bags swinging, zips zipping, all happening in the moment. The group started to traipse out of the chapel, filing out one by one. Then the last in the party turned to me, and with great reverence on her face, she placed her hands together as if to say a heartfelt prayer, and she looked straight at me and said in a pious voice, Namaste. Yeah, I thought, and I bow to the God within you too. This was not going well, and my time was up. I had to leave. I felt I had not got what I came for. I felt cheated.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
The second time I visited this little chapel, I had high hopes that I might get the blessed relief that I was searching for. So having a chance of 10 to 15 minutes peace in amongst everything, and certainly having failed so miserably last time, I decided I'd go and give the chapel another try. Again, I walked along the high street to the small and unassuming chapel located down the plain set of large flagstone steps opposite the entrance to Glastonbury's famous abbey. I looked around in the chapel, found myself a chair, tucked my handbag and my shopping underneath the seat, let my hands rest gently in my lap, took a few breaths in and out, closed my eyes, and I decided to drink in some of the peace refound while I was alone in this little sacred chapel. Ah, peace. The birds were singing gently outside. No one else was around, and I started to disappear into that special sacred space where you reconnect to your source. Breathing in peace. Oh, and breathing out peace. Breathing in love. And breathing out love. And now, a Radio 1 throwback to the days of girl power. Let's spice it up. What? Someone had switched on a radio. And it wasn't just switched on, it was booming so loudly that the walls of the chapel were vibrating. Oh, this was too much. How could anyone think that this chapel was anything but a nightmare? I got up from my chair and made the short walk down to the offices where volunteers were stationed. Excuse me, I said, controlling my frustration. I don't suppose you know how I could ask the person with the radio just to turn it down a bit. The volunteer shook her head. We've tried, she said. It's a squatter just moved into the building next door. He wakes up and turns the radio on so loud you can hardly hear yourself think in the chapel. We've asked for help moving him along, but so far we haven't managed it. Well, I said, I don't mind him being there, but it would be great if only he could turn the radio down a bit. It's hard to drink in the chapel's atmosphere with such a racket going on. I know, said the volunteer. We have tried, but if we ask, he just turns the volume up. I'm sorry. Well, that was it. I left the chapel, frustrated and disappointed again. There was no point in staying. But a few weeks later, I found myself in Glastonbury again. Should I try one last time? Was it worth trying to find out why everyone adored this chapel so much? What if the squatter was still there? I decided to persevere and give it one more go. This time, however, I was arriving prepared. I had a pair of headphones that blocked out pretty much any noise you can imagine once they're on your head, and I'd loaded an old iPod with some really spiritual music that would do the job. The plan was to arrive at the chapel, and God willing, I would be able to take my seat, put on my headphones, switch on the iPod, tune out the world, and tune into the energy in the chapel at last. As it turned out, this was exactly the right thing to do. The experience that came next was nothing short of wondrous, and in the second half of my show today, I would love to tell you exactly what happened. I'm Amanda Nelson, and this week I want to share a real-life story with you. It's a story about the time I decided to go and visit St. Margaret's Chapel, also known as the Magdalene Chapel, in Glastonbury. And it's what happened when I got there. In that little chapel, I made a life-changing connection that I'd like to tell you about. So, picture the scene. I'm sitting in a little chapel in Glastonbury. I've been in this chapel twice before, but on both occasions it ended up a complete disaster. I'm in the chapel again because I'm drawn to it, and I feel that there must be something I need from this chapel, something I need to receive from it in that small, unassuming, sacred space, because I keep coming back. I'm finding that as I ascend, as I refine my energy signature to being more aligned with love and kindness and gratitude, well, there are parts of me that are starting to feel isolated and alone for the first time in many years. And I also find myself occasionally getting a bit frustrated, which is what happened to me on the other occasions I arrived at the chapel. But I decided to let that go because in the spirit of kindness and connection, that's what you should do. What I am finding, though, is that the more I try to live as a loving, kind and generous human being, the more sometimes I feel a little bit cut off from everybody else and how they are and how they behave, the everyday life out there, if you will. It feels more and more like I'm starting to step away, consciously choosing not to engage with certain aspects of cultural norms anymore, those norms that seem to control and manipulate our lives from every angle. And so I'm going in search, I suppose. I'm in search of all sorts of ways of helping myself find the peace that I feel I've lost. So I've been coming to Glastonbury and I've decided that I'm going to go again to this little chapel in an attempt to find a way to feel less stressed, less disconnected.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Now, twice I'd come and twice my goals had been thwarted in this chapel, first by a party of noisy backpackers who, at first I became very, I must say I was frustrated at the noise they made in the chapel, but okay, let that go. It's a learning experience. And second, by a squatter who liked his radio turned onto the louder setting. Again, I was frustrated, but then in reflection I thought, you know, I'm very fortunate. I have my own home and a family, and the noise that's generated in my life doesn't come from a radio set. So one last time then, I decided I was going to go to the chapel, but this time I was prepared, okay? So I put on some headphones, I turned on some gentle and inspiring meditation music. I closed my eyes, went inward, and allowed myself to blend with the chapel and the energy that was there, bathed in amongst the prayers of the thousands of other souls that arrived in the same place looking for answers to their own life puzzles. There was peace in the chapel that day when I visited. The squatter had gone, and it was the wrong time of the day for the backpackers. Fingers crossed. You know, when I arrived at this chapel, of all the things I thought that might happen, the one thing I never expected to happen was to actually meet Mary Magdalene. Yes, you heard me right. I was sitting there alone in this chapel, listening to the meditation music that I'd brought, when suddenly I became very aware of a spirit that had just started to approach me. Now, I'm very in tune energetically. I have been since I was born. And as well as a full set of psychic gifts that all work at capacity, I'm also very telepathic and empathetic. And as a medium, I find it very easy and effortless to connect with spiritual souls. I do it all the time. But sitting in that chapel, I never believed for a minute that the soul I could possibly connect to would be Mary Magdalene herself. When I became aware of spirit drawing closer, at first I always get the feeling like there's an invisible shadow that's arrived. And then with the spirit, I become more and more connected, and that invisible shadow takes form both inside my head and outside my head at the same time. It does sound a little bizarre to describe it that way, but that is actually the way it feels. So there I was sitting in this chapel, and I was meditating in the peace and quiet, and I was really finding a space within the chapel for myself in order for me to be able to drink in some of the ambience there. And suddenly I became very aware that Mary Magdalene was there kneeling in front of me. And she gazed up and she let her kind smile shine in my face, and I suddenly felt like everything was going to be all right. And she read my energy, and even though her frame was much, much smaller than mine, I actually felt like she drew me close to her chest, and wrapping me up in her arms, she held me. I'd never been held by a spirit like this. I'd never been connected with a spirit like this before. And actually, small tears spontaneously ran down my cheeks. I didn't pull away, which is what I'd normally do. I try and control the situation. I actually surrendered into her embrace quite completely. And for the first time in many, many years, I truly felt held in unconditional spiritual love and acceptance. We shared that special moment in that chapel. And after having that initial and very rich connection, we've shared many such moments since. In fact, she's become a mentor of mine. Now, Mary Magdalene is one of the few ascended masters that I would consider to not only be my teacher, but also to be my friend as well. And it's probably why I call her Mary rather than Ascended Master Mary Magdalene, which is what you're supposed to call her. But all that pomp just doesn't seem to fit with the person, that humble persona that I've come to know so well. Mary and I have shared many conversations about her previous life over the time we've connected. And, well, a friendship works both ways, and sometimes it's about me listening to her instead. There are many things about her that have not been remembered correctly, is what she says. I suppose she fell victim to being a woman born in the wrong age. If she'd been born into the 21st century, I believe she would have been hailed a leading light, a free-spirited thinker, a pioneer for people's rights, a role model for women, a change maker, a law breaker, a celebrated humanitarian. Yet I also know her as a humble soul. She'd say she is only ever speaking her truth, and that any true truth, even when it is spoken in the quietest whisper, is loud enough to silence the sound of thunder and lightning shaking a mountain. I really like Mary. Am I allowed to say that I think she's really very cool? The biblical time that she was born into was certainly a challenge for her. But she understands it was a challenge that she had to face and to overcome on her route to ascension. The Mary Magdalene, this ascended master that I've come to know, is independent thinking. She's gracious, she's humble, and yet she has the power in her, a defiance almost at times too. I have to say, she's an infectious wildness to her spirit. I like it. She'll cradle you close and wipe away your tears and fears. And at the same time, she'll build you up and tell you that you can do it, that you will find the way, that the people who matter will be there for you. They are already waiting for you to rise up and speak your truth. They're waiting for you to shine your light and lead the way. She'll tell you that you matter and that she will be there, and you will become enthralled by her. I've connected energetically to many of the Ascended Masters. Ascended Masters were, just in case you don't know, they were once human, but through living their lives and through facing life's challenges and gaining the wisdom that they needed to become enlightened, they then ascended. And now they offer guidance and they work on behalf of all of us that are trying to also ascend as well. Of all the Ascended Masters that I've met, there's not a single one so far that measures up to the depth of what Mary brought to me that day in the chapel in Glastonbury. I can't claim to be a follower of any world religion, though I am very spiritual, but I connected with Mary and I love her. Yes, in the way you love your mum when she's being the best mum ever, or your closest friend when you're laughing heartily together. The confidant that knows your stuff but would never tell. She's a champion spurring you on, a standard bearer for your cause. And she's your biggest fan and the person who has your back as you step forward to face down your demons. I'd really love for you to meet her. After the profoundest of moments in that chapel with Mary, I walked out into the gardens in front of the old almshouses again, and a gentleman was sitting on the wooden seat in the sunshine. And I said, "May I join you?" "Yes, of course," he said. And it turned out that this gentleman was a trustee of the chapel, one of the many trustees that had kept the chapel safe and sound and just as it is. And they'd kept it that way over hundreds of years. "What did you think of the chapel then?" he said. And he looked at me. "She's profoundly moving," I said. And he looked at me knowingly. He nodded and he smiled. For another show this week. I'm thrilled that you dropped by. I present Future Self Energetic Show every week for UK Health Radio, and I'd be delighted to spend more time with you next week, so do tune in. The world of energy is amazing, and it's magical, and it's mysterious, and there's always so much for us to explore about it. You have a vital connection to a web of energy fields around you. Use that connection for your benefit. I've been working with vibrational energetics all my life, and I know that when you improve your energy field, you can up-level any part of your life.